making workout noises.
Happy night before Halloween, ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this podcast. Enjoy.
Especially ladies.
Oh. It is August. I mean, it is October 30th, 2018. My name is Josh.
So is mine.
And we have another Josh in the room as we're recording.
Me too. I'm Josh. And same, another Josh, yep,
and,
that's me.
And a Will.
Welcome to Wandering Through Middle Earth with Josh, and Josh and Will today.
Where we discuss everything Lord of the Rings, and more.
And more. Roll the intro music. Walking through Middle Earth with Josh, not all who wander are lost. Don't quite know where this will go. But we think we're gonna tell you what you need to know. Well, here we go. Welcome.
Welcome back.
Welcome
back in the intro.
That was actually, we're not actually having any guest speakers today. It's just me, Josh, and you, Josh.
Correct.
So, how was your week, man?
It was good, dude. I never prepared for that question really well.
I know. It catches you off guard.
I met up with some new friends from church, which was really fun.
That's cool.
Got to know them really well, and they're the type of people who are very straightforward, and so it was fun just talking about life. So that was like a highlight for sure. 110%.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was your week?
It was good. I wasn't ready for that question either. It's been kind of not a long week with work. But it's been, I have a new job. It's my third weekend.
Yeah,
so,
you do.
Just getting used to that, getting used to my coworkers, getting used to the workload. I work for a political office, and we have election season coming up. Mm. To our listeners out there, go out and vote. Your voice matters. It is important. I don't mean to get political, but voting is a good idea.
It really doesn't feel like it matters a lot of the time, though.
But here's the thing.
Enlighten me.
Yeah, you are able to
vote. As a politician. Future mayor.
No, I am not a politician.
Future mayor of Riverside.
That's a
elected. Watch out, Mayor Bailey.
It's elected. Nope. It's an elected position. I'm not running, therefore I cannot win. But my point is it's not so much like, yeah, maybe you think that it doesn't count. And to be completely honest, like, just like the lottery, like, One vote isn't going to do anything. The fact is that you can vote. As someone who grew up in China, you couldn't vote. And looking at the way that China is now with, you know, a quote-unquote elected official who is no longer elected because he's now, like, president for life, like, that they don't have that right. They don't get to choose what they want to do. And so, yeah, I would say vote because you can.
Wow.
Yeah. Also,
that was deep.
There are some, interesting propositions in California. I really don't want to go political with this podcast. We're talking about Lord of the Rings, man.
Well, speaking of politics, we're going to learn about someone today who does not care about the politics of Middle Earth.
No.
And does his own thing.
Yeah. Real quick, here's an update for all our faithful listeners out there. We now have 89 total plays all time, which is pretty sick. Let's try to get that to 100.
Yeah.
Our first episode was more successful than the rest.
Slowly declining in the amount of listens we're getting.
Usually you would think that it'd be the opposite. Like, usually you'd think there'd be a snowball effect in the sense that, like, you know, maybe not that many people listen to the first one, and then a little bit more.
It's catching fire, maybe.
It's the complete opposite. Yeah. In fact, if we continue to trend like this, this episode will only get 2 listens.
That's true, actually. I think we're not doing a lot of promo, and we're going to try to be better about that.
Yeah, actually,
Instagram and
here's a interactive portion. How do you think?
Oh, here we go.
That we can do better.
Wow.
With that. Please leave a comment.
That's beautiful.
I know that you guys follow the Instagram.
That's right.
How many people are on the Instagram now?
50.
50 followers on Instagram. So leave us a comment on our latest post. We will make a post after this episode.
Correct.
Let us know, because obviously we're doing something wrong. But another thing, real quick.
But it feels so right. Just doing this with you, you know?
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick before we get into the meat of today's... Oh, yeah, and no voice messages either.
We didn't get any voice messages.
Please leave a voice message. It's very cool.
We're not going to lose hope.
No.
We're not going to lose hope. And we're going to persevere through this because we know that there's at least three of you who listen every time.
I hope that there's more than three. Actually.
Hey, if there was only one, I'd say, let's do that for them. Let's do this for them.
Amen. I love you, one listener.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are, but I love you.
Passionately.
Intimately?
In a brotherly way.
Yeah. Unless you're a sister, then in a sisterly way. But real quick, I keep saying real quick, but we're already like 4 or 5 minutes in.
Real quick,
we want to just give a great shout out to Desmond Clark.
Oh my gosh, Desmond.
You are,
dude,
awesome. And here's the thing. Desmond actually reached out to me and he was like, why aren't you on Apple Podcasts? Yeah. And this was when we had first started the podcast. And I said, I don't know how, like, they're just not letting us in. And once again, shout out to Apple Podcasts for finally getting us on their
platform.
That's
right. Cue celebration sound.
Yay!
We're back.
Thank you, Apple Podcasts. And you have expanded our platform. So now Desmond, who is a good friend of mine, I think. I hope we're good friends, Desmond. You taught me a lot of things about piano.
A little DTR right now.
Very cool.
Just real quick.
But he left a review and a rating on our podcast.
He did.
And
it was a beautiful one.
It is a beautiful one. I'm just going to read it real quick.
Yeah,
am I allowed to?
Give him a shout out. Yeah.
Is that like a copyright thing because he wrote it?
I don't think he'll be upset about it.
Okay. So from Desmond Clark, these guys are awesome and down to earth. Knowledgeable about the material, but it just feels like casual conversation instead of super fanboy talk. I wouldn't be afraid to listen to this podcast around my football player friends, but it still fits in on the nerd side with the gamers and the Slytherins, etc. Love it.
We love you. Yeah, we love you.
Yeah, thank you so much for paying attention to our podcast and listening. Desmond actually texted me after listening to the first episode and said, you know, the whole thing with the music that we were trying to do,
mm-hmm.
He's down to be a guest star in that.
He wants to collaborate.
He's so talented.
Yeah.
It will be amazing.
Let's do it.
Like, we're kind of musical, sort of.
Well, me...
But he's so good.
Here's how it goes.
Okay.
I'm at, like, imagine a really tall cliff that is 100 feet tall.
Okay.
Close your eyes, listeners, and imagine this. Musically...
Unless you're driving, don't close your eyes.
With musical talent, I'm at, like, you know, you can cliff jump off of this cliff. I'm at the 15-foot marker, okay? Josh here is at, like, the 40-foot marker.
Wow, thank you.
What I hear and have seen about Desmond, he's at, like... the 95-foot marker, right under John Mayer. So go ahead.
Dang.
Give him a look.
That's high.
But yeah, that'd be exciting. That's fun. So yeah, leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. It's fun for us. We'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, and another thing that Desmond said, he bought the book and he's reading along with
That's
us.
That's super fun.
So
yeah.
Guys, do the same thing. It makes it a lot more interesting. And you know what else? It motivates us and it keeps us accountable to
That's
continue
right.
doing this.
That's right.
So shall we get into it?
Yeah, that was a long intro. Thanks for sticking around.
Should we play the intro again?
Intro again, why not? Go.
Walking through Middle Earth.
All right, and we're back. So we pick up from last week, or actually, yeah, it's been exactly a week.
Yeah.
And we have the merry crew of Frodo, Sam, and Pippin coming and meeting up with Merry. After they got through that little mushroom patch, So they get on the ferry and they're going across the water to the Buckland Shore, which is where Frodo's new house is.
You might remember they just escaped the clutches of the Black Rider.
Correct. And spent time with one of
nine. Yeah, one of nine Black Riders.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah, one of nine. Mm-hmm. Nine of them, so.
And so they come together and so Mary or Sam and Frodo still think that Merry and Pippin think that they are just moving there to move there. Little do they know, and we're about to find out, mm-hmm. that Merry and Pippin actually know that they're not planning to stay there. So they spend a night there, you know, they have a bath, they have food, and they, after their food and bath the evening, Frodo starts to tell them, hey, so I can't keep this a secret anymore, guys. I need to tell you something, but I'm not sure how to start. And Merry and Pippin say, oh, well, we can help you, because we already know. And Frodo's like, what do you mean? And he says, my dear Frodo, you're miserable because you don't know how to say goodbye. You mean to leave the Shire, but you don't want to. And so we're sorry for you. Like we understand you, and it's okay. And so he's so surprised. He's like, I thought I kept a great secret. And Pippin's like, you're being really obvious, man. Like, yeah. You're having these deep talks with Gandalf. You're selling all your stuff and saying that you're moving to this little area across the way from Bag End or from the Shire. We see you, like, talking to yourself, saying stuff like, shall I ever look down into that valley again, I wonder? So come on now. Like, we're not blind. We're not stupid. Like, we're your friends. And so Frodo's kind of freaking out now because he knows that his mission with the ring is supposed to be secret. So he's like, does everyone know? And Merry's like, no. Like, Merry and Pippin are both like, no, like, your secret's safe with us. Oh, and we know about the ring.
Mm.
And then this is when Frodo just flips out. He's like, how do you know? Like, how do you know about, like, he's completely amazed. And he's like, this is a big deal. Like, I can't ask you guys to... Like, please keep this a secret. But Merry and Pippin are like, oh, even more so, like, we want to go with you on this trip. And he's just completely baffled. And, you know, they talk about how Sam kind of told them about what was going on and that he needs to have people around him that he can trust, as Gandalf said. So Frodo is finally just... kind of given up on persuading them in any other way, and so he says, all right then, I guess we'll plan to take off in the morning. So yeah, they kind of go to bed, and they're just kind of, Frodo lays there thinking about what the future is going to hold.
That's right.
That's when we find ourselves in chapter 6.
Switching over to the next Josh. I'll give you a quick rundown of chapter 6. It's titled The Old Forest, just in case, just for following along purposes. So, we come to the Old Forest, or the preparation more so, coming off of chapter 5. So, they wake up in the morning, of course, and they leave around 6 o'clock in the morning, and Merry is basically... giving this daunting description of what the forest is going to be like, because they have to get through this forest in order to get to their next destination, and they've kind of gone through all their potential routes and places they could go, but they decide that through the forest is the best option. And basically this forest, Mary's describing it, and the reason why it's kind of daunting is because the trees have been said to have minds of their own.
So there's like a lot of stories about these trees.
Yeah. There's like rumors. Old tales, and you know, people talk a lot, so they didn't know if it's actually true. And so, essentially these trees can think for themselves, make decisions, talk amongst themselves, In their own tree language. I don't
they
know.
They can shift.
They can shift, as it says. Yes, they can shift. So it's really kind of creepy. And I mean, at one point, Pippin asks a question, is it only the trees that are dangerous? And Merry replies with, there's a lot of weird things living deep in the forest and on the far side. And so we come, we'll talk about it in later chapters because they encounter some other weird things as well. But yeah, so they start their trek into the forest, and at first, you know, the trees are spread out, light is still coming in. So it's not that bad, but of course the deeper and deeper they get into the forest, more trees, less light, harder to track the trail that they're on, it's getting covered up and things like that.
Gets a little hard to, they say it gets like stuffy too, huh?
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah.
hard to breathe and it's mm-hmm. like the trees are kind of stifling the air. And
yeah. And so as they're going, it's like, they're kind of talking about, okay, they start to occasionally like stumble on roots that they didn't see ahead of them. And it's like, okay, like, are the trees moving these roots or like, are we just missing them? And then at one point they even just start singing a song because, Frodo wanted to encourage the whole crew. But one line he says, for east or west, all woods must fail. And then at that exact moment, a huge branch above them falls behind them, just missing them, sort of as like a threat from the trees. Like, hey, we hear you. We know you're here amongst us. Like, this is our territory.
Merry says they do not like it all. That about ending and failing.
Yeah. it's kind of ominous and it's kind
of
creepy.
I think Mary's a lot more like scared of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he just believes it more. Because he's been told the tales as a kid and stuff about this forest.
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like a, you know, speaking of Halloween, that's kind of like, yeah, you know, when you have these like scary stories in your mind.
Yeah.
You can't really go to bed. You can't really fall asleep because you're thinking about all this weird stuff going on.
True. Yeah. And so they keep going. Nice reference to Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween weekend. Or not weekend. Week.
Yeah.
So he says, after an hour or two, they lost all clear sense of direction, though they knew well that they had long ceased to go northward at all. So basically, they're sort of getting lost. And kind of jump forward a little bit, they start to randomly get tired. And it's not...
like sleepy tired.
Yeah, it's not necessarily fatigue, but more just like drowsy.
Yeah.
And they don't really know why. They begin to feel very hot. Just so many flies, and like they just keep yawning and blinking as if, you know, you're super tired trying to keep your eyes open. And so I'll read this line. Merry and Pippin dragged themselves forward and lay down with their backs to a willow trunk. Behind them the great cracks gaped wide to receive them as the tree swayed and creaked. So they lay against these trees.
The trees, like, almost open up.
Yeah, I think they forget that the trees, like, are alive, essentially. And, and then Frodo kind of gets hit with sleep after that. He feels the sleep overpowering him. He begins to struggle. And then he really wants water. And so they're near this bank at this point. And Frodo goes for a drink of water and to cool off his feet, and he falls asleep.
I don't think it was brown water. Was he trying to drink it?
Does it say brown water?
Yeah.
I thought
I think he was just putting his feet in it because his feet were hot.
I thought he wanted like a cool drink. Maybe I misread that.
I think he did, but I don't think he could drink that water. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Small details.
Oh, yeah. Feet in the cool brown water. He fell asleep with his back against a tree after that. Sam kind of comes to the rescue at this point, which is a theme that you'll see throughout the whole entire book. Sam is like the backup guy. Like, he always comes in clutch and saves the day.
Or tries to. Or as tries much as a to. Hobbit can.
Yes, correct. Which is oftentimes enough.
Yeah.
For their situations. And Sam sees Frodo being pushed down by a tree root into the water. Frodo's drowning, and this tree is trying to kill him. Sam grips his jacket and drags him from under the root, saves him, and Frodo has no idea what just happened. He just knows that he was really sleepy. And so at this point, they don't know what to do. They see Merry and Pippin. They're trapped. Frodo starts to think to himself. He says, "What a foul thing to happen. Why did we ever come into this dreadful forest? I wish we were all back at Crick Hollow," which is his new home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that you're actually going to see as you read the book, too. Like, they start off cheerful, mm-hmm. or, like, with courage. They get into predicaments. They lose courage. They lose hope. And they wish themselves out of their current situation.
It's kind of a metaphor for life.
Yeah. And they continually do that over and over again. And, I mean, even if we could relate it to our faith for a second, like, oftentimes we find ourselves in these predicaments and we lose hope so easily, but then Christ comes in and is like, "No, I got you." You end up, you know, getting out of that situation, and after you're out of it is when you recognize, like, oh, like, why did I lose hope, you know, like, and so as time goes on, they grow more weary with their travels, but they also gain courage.
And that courage, I think, comes in different forms too. It comes either through, like, different people or different circumstances. I'm thinking of, like, specific things that I won't say because it'll ruin the story, but mm-hmm. like, it comes in a variety of forms, which, going along with that really spiritual theme, like, God works in tons of different ways.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't just work through one way of, you know, literally, like, dropping someone in to free you or to save you from your predicament, but through a variety of different circumstances mm-hmm. that, you know, either it's through, you know, your situation being remedied or through someone stepping in and taking over your situation or mm-hmm.
Well placed. I mean, it's kind of cool. J.R.R. Tolkien, the author, was indeed a Christian, mm-hmm. and so it's cool to see when you can, you know, find themes within his writings. He kind of integrates his faith into the story at some points, which is cool. But that was a tangent, kind of a little tangent. But back to the story, Sam and Frodo are like, "What do we do?" Sam proposed an idea of lighting a tree on fire. He starts to do so at the tree where Merry is trapped, because at this point, half of Merry's body is out of a tree, half is inside of the tree. Essentially, the tree has pinched him because he fell asleep against it.
It's like it's going to eat him.
Correct. And he starts burning a fire right next to this tree so that it might let go of Merry, but it starts squeezing him tighter.
Mm.
And Merry says, like, "Stop," you know, like, and he even says that the tree, like, speaks to him. He says, "He'll squeeze me in two if you don't, like, put out the fire. He says so," which is also really creepy. Like, the tree's telling Merry, "Tell your friend to stop or else I'm going to squeeze you."
I didn't think of that when I was reading it, but only Merry can hear him.
Yeah. So that's weird, man.
Yeah.
That's weird.
How does that work? It's not like it has telepathy.
I don't know. He's, like, in his mind. Or maybe he's, like, whispering to him. I don't know.
Like, oh, because he is halfway inside.
He's inside the tree.
That's still weird.
Yeah.
But then what happens? Oh, who shows up on the scene? Your favorite character.
My least and most favorite character in the entire storyline of the entire series.
So, Josh, this is a theme that we're about. A personal theme, not a story theme. But this next character who Josh is about to mention is actually his favorite character. He may sound different, but all I've heard is Josh talk about this guy. So take it away, Josh. Introduce your favorite character.
Well, he's just a weirdo. The first time you hear from this guy, he's singing nonsense. Literally, it says, let me read this to you guys. he turned around and listened, so meaning I believe it was Frodo. He turned around and listened, and soon there could be no doubt. Someone was singing a song. A deep, glad voice was singing carelessly and happily, but it was singing nonsense. And it's like really weird words, like, hey, is it doll or dole? Hey, doll, merry doll.
I think you should try to sing it, man.
Ring-a-dong, dillo. Ring-a-dong, hop along. Fal-lal, the willow. Just weird, like, just nonsense. And then we quickly learn that his name is Tom Bombadil because he starts singing his name. he speaks in the third person, like, all the time. And he sees the predicament that all these hobbits are in, these four hobbits, and he's like, oh, let me help you. Tells the tree stop it, and the tree spits him out. He takes a branch from a tree, rips it off, starts smacking the tree that has Merry and Pippin, and it lets them go, spits them out essentially. And I'm just like, who is this guy that he can just like talk to trees and command them? And
Jesus?
Well, speaking of spiritual themes, yeah. Maybe this is Jesus, but
well, he's really mysterious, but no, that's a bit of a stretch.
It's a bit of a stretch.
I mean, Jesus told the wind and the waves to stop.
He did tell them to stop nature. So let's do this then. Let's think about it. We'll chew on it for you guys. Well, think about if Tom is really Jesus.
We'll revisit this.
And we'll get back to you. Give us your thoughts. Is Tom Bombadil Jesus? We don't know. Let us know. Anyways, he starts singing about his wife. Her name is Goldberry, which is also a really weird name. And he's basically like their savior in this moment. Wow. Just he's becoming more and more like Jesus as time goes on.
So are we. Sanctification, man.
There you go. You're learning a lot about the Joshes today. And yeah, he basically takes him to his home, helps him out, and then the next chapter starts. And the next chapter is called In the House of Tom Bombadil, literally. So we'll talk about that next time. But yeah, this guy's just an anomaly. Like, he just comes out of nowhere just singing a song. And he's like, oh, what's up, guys? Like, tree, stop. And the tree stops.
It's so interesting how they describe him, too.
Yeah.
He's like, I think it said it was like, he's too fat to be a hobbit.
Yeah.
He's like holding a plate of water lilies.
Yeah.
He's got a super red face. It's an interesting character.
So J.R.R. Tolkien never defines what this person is. So, you know, I mean, there's dwarves, there's hobbits, there are elves, there's men, all these different categories of beings in Middle Earth, but it never once says what he specifically is.
He wasn't a wizard.
No,
he wasn't. He's not a wizard. He's not an elf. He's not a dwarf.
And the first thing you might think is, oh, he's a wizard because he has these like powers where he can, you know, speak to trees. But then there's Radagast the Brown, Radagast the Brown's a wizard amongst the ranks of like Gandalf and other wizards. There's five of them total. Radagast the Brown, he is like the nature wizard. So it's not him. It's not.
Yeah.
It's very distinctly not him. So it's very confusing. I'm kind of excited to talk about him because of how weird he is, and like we'll really dive in deeper to it next time because we just get a little taste of him in this last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But you're gonna learn some really interesting things about him and what he is interested in, what he's like, and what he does. But yeah, it's just weird. So
yeah.
That's why he's my least favorite and my most favorite, because he's just. He's the only character throughout this series that's just like not he's not definitive.
Oh, okay, I thought you were gonna say the other thing, but we'll save that for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to give it all away right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's it. That's chapters 5 and 6 in a nutshell for you guys. Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you for continuing to listen, those few faithful out there. Hopefully there's a little spike in listener rate.
Who knows?
Honestly, at the end of the day, if there's not, that's okay too.
We're still having fun.
Yeah. So I'm Josh.
And you know what? I'm also Josh.
And this has been Wandering Through Middle Earth with Josh and Josh.
Until next time.
Have a great Josh night. Or day, or evening, wherever in the world you are. Hey, follow us on Instagram.
That's right.
Keep up with us on... That's all we have.
That's all we have.
Have a great evening.